said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for
QZ and Aaron.
Off air, uncut.
QZ and Aaron, the podcast. Now, today, speaking to an absolute legend, a former Paralympic cyclist, a professional blind surfer. Here's a little taste of what is coming up. Amazing documentary called The Blind Sea. You can follow it at theblindsea.com.au. Here's a little bit of taste of the world.
You're a ragdoll. You're being tumbled, you're being pulled this way, you're being pulled that way.
It's a lot more dangerous, so, you know, there's a lot more power.
Hey, he's pushing big waves. It's next level. There is no logic, man. It's just insanity.
And Matt joins us all the way from Portugal. Matt, we're keeping you up. We know you've got to go to bed because what are you going to do tomorrow, Matt?
I'm going to surf Nazaré, hopefully the biggest wave of my life.
The biggest wave of his life. And are we talking 20 foot? What are we talking?
Look, I don't know. We'll just see what happens. I'm not going to put a number or anything. I'm going to push it as hard as I can. But I'd say, yeah, easily double that.
What?
A 40-foot wave. Now, Matt, surfing, I've never really been able to stand up on a surfboard, and I love watching surfers because I think it's just a brilliant thing that people can do.
It's incredible.
But you lost how much, 95% of your sight when you were 5, is that right, Matt?
Correct, yeah. I've got no central vision and I've actually lost a bit more sight in the last few years, so I've got about 3% of my peripheral vision in my right eye and 1% in my left eye, so yeah. Sweet FA is the technical term.
Do you remember back to when you were 5 when you had full vision at all?
Not really. I've got a memory that I don't know if it's a real memory because, you know, sometimes these things, you sort of, they're fictitious, but it's actually good timing for this memory. It was Christmas Eve. We're having a barbecue at a friend's house and one of the dads said, oh, I think Santa's in the sky, and we're all looking up in the sky and we saw a shooting star. Yeah. And I think it's a real memory because I can remember all the detail of how, like, the pinpoints of all the stars and the shooting star moving through the sky. So that's my only sort of memory of things being clear, yeah.
God, that's perspective. That, like, the things that a lot of us just take for granted. And, yeah, I'm the same as you. I can't stand up on a surfboard either. How did you learn to surf?
Well, I grew up in Narrabeen, northern beach of Sydney, and everyone else surfed. So they just pushed me into waves on a bodyboard, my dad and come and get me and then push me into another wave. And I just learned to feel the waves on a bodyboard. And then, yeah, when I was 10, I just stood up and I've been surfing for, you know, 30 years and I now have the privilege of travelling around the world. It's part, sort of my job. It's pretty, not a bad gig.
Can we talk about your parents, mate, and the fact that they, you know, pushed you into it? I mean, you know, we're all parents and it's the first sort of natural sort of urge is to protect your children. Well, your parents were like, you know, he's going to do everything that everyone else does. Was that their sort of their mindset?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different. Like, I think people talk about, because obviously these days lots of pushy parents that are trying to get their kids to do maybe things that they didn't in themselves or whatever. And it's a bit, you know, as a parent, it's one of the hardest things in the world. I'm a parent now and it's really hard to, you know, that balance between pushing and being too mollycoddling.
Yeah.
But what my parents did, I think, was more, there wasn't any like, go and do this and push me to do things. It was more like they just got out of my way. And if anyone said you can't do it, they would just, you know, say, well, don't listen to that. We'll just find our way. And just, yeah, if I wanted to do something, they just set up opportunities for it to happen.
Not to take anything away from how incredible it is, but is there an element that advantages you maybe, particularly with 40-foot waves, that you can't actually see them? Is there less fear when you can't see them coming?
Well, my mates all reckon for sure.
Of course they do.
Big and they're like, you're so lucky you can't see right now. Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely an element to that. And look, I can't make the call. Like, when you know, it could be 40, 50 foot. I don't know what how big we're going to go. But when the boys will make that call, they'll see it. And, you know, I'll find out how big the wave is when I get to the bottom of it. That's the reality of it.
Mate, do you need someone out there with you? And I mean, obviously, I have boogie boarded, so I do know, you know, watching the waves come in, but you can see them from a distance. Yeah. So do you go out on your own sometimes, or is it always better to have someone there with you?
Oh, look, I can surf by myself, but I normally have someone with me talking me into the waves. Yeah. But over here, I mean, this is a pretty serious undertaking. So I've got 4 jet skis in the water that are, you know, I've got one tow ski that's towing me into the wave, and we've got some processes that they'll blow the whistle. I can't see when I let go of the tow rope. So they'll blow it. My Dylan Longbottom's my towing me in, or Lucas Chumbo. They'll blow a whistle, and when they blow the whistle, I pull the rope and let go and go down the mountain, I suppose. And then I've got two safety skis and a backup safety ski with a camera on it. So we've covered lots of the bases to make sure that, you know, I want to push it as big as I can to, but do it in a reduce as much risk as possible.
But surely sight is a big thing in surfing, and to have, you know, 3% sight, it must be such a hard undertaking. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah, but it's all relative. You know, hard is perspective, right? So I've chosen to do this, and for me, it's hard for anyone to surf a wave that big. It's just. It is what it is, and I'll probably cop a few on the head, but that's just, I've done my physical training in the gym, and I can hold my breath for 5 minutes. I've done all that breath training to, be ready for that, and that's how it is. That's what I want to do it. I'm not here for any gut box ticking or anything. I'm here because it's something that I want to do. So, I'm just excited about it.
You said you're a father. I'm assuming you're married. How do they feel about it, your family and your wife in particular?
Look, my wife's she's been my rock through my whole sporting career, and she's forever supportive. But she's obviously a little bit concerned, but she supports my crazy dreams, whatever crazy thing I'm doing at the time. My older son's 8. He's old enough to know what Nazareth, he surfs. He knows what Nazareth is, and his response when he found out I was going was, "Dad, you can't, you'll die." So that's always challenging to hear that from your son.
Absolutely.
And then to have to make the decision to still go. But, it's hard. And my mum just sort of knew I was doing. She's been around forever, obviously, while I've been doing crazy stuff. And she's sort of worked out now what Nazareth is and how serious what we're doing is. But they also know that I've done a lot of crazy stuff that people have said that's impossible in the past, and I've done it in a way that we've controlled risk and we've got it done. So I think they all trust that I've got the best safety team in the world, and I've done the surfing, I've done the training, I've done everything else. It's just about now just putting all the pieces together and going out there and having a crack.
It's going to make a compelling documentary. So this is, you're filming it for the documentary, is that right? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm doing it for my life, but the documentary is about my wife, so the boys are absolutely filming it. And I think it'll be probably one of the closing scenes of the film.
Oh, my God, it's full on. So can people watch it live, mate, or are we going to, can you follow along or not?
It's going to be, they're shooting for the film. I'd say they're going to keep that footage pretty much under wraps. I'm sure they'll release something. I'll probably put some stuff up on my social, which is just Matt Formston on Instagram. And there'll be stuff coming out for sure, but I just don't know how much they'll share. But you'll be able to see it through the. There's this live camera on the headland that you can watch the wave at any given time.
Yeah,
but you can watch through a few different websites.
Mate, you obviously have overcome a lot of hurdles in your life with your vision. I mean, when you see other people whinging about stuff, do you go, do you want to tell people to shut up, or are you a whinger in your life apart from the sight?
Oh, mate, well, if you ask my wife, I'm an absolute whinger. I never put my clothes away. There's clothes on the floor, and she says, "Get to the dishes before she goes to work," and they're not done when she comes home. So we're all, we've all got our challenges. But look, it's all perspective. You said before, it's hard. It's a hard undertaking, and hard is a perspective thing. And everybody's got their own perspective, right? I've built all this resilience in my life through having gone through discrimination and, all sorts of crazy stuff in school. Like, school was really hard for me from a discrimination perspective, but that set me up to do what I do now. Like, I've built that resilience, and other people haven't built that resilience. So it's all perspective, right? If they whinge about something that's maybe not that challenging for me, but that's challenging for them. So I think you need to respect where everybody's level is, but maybe some people could push it a bit harder and take some more risks and build a bit more resilience.
So you went to school and you're an 80s boy, really. You went to school in the 80s, and so things weren't set up and you...
Correct.
So there was there was things you couldn't do, and that they weren't allowing you to do stuff, and you had to push through yourself.
Oh, there was that. The teachers, in the 80s, kids with disabilities didn't go to mainstream schooling. So I was one of the first kids in Australia to go through with a disability to go through mainstream schooling. And probably the only reason that happened is I had my vision in kindergarten, and then by the end of that year, I lost my vision. So I was already in the mainstream school, and then my parents had a full-on challenge keeping me in the school, because the cool school said I had to leave and go to a school for kids with disabilities, but they pushed me to stay in. But then, you get I played rugby union and rugby league, ice hockey, all those sports, and as able-bodied people. But all the boys I played footy and ice hockey with, they were all cool. Like, I was always included as one of the boys. But then I go to school, and some kid that was that could have played sport and wasn't that smart would be picking on me from the back of the room, saying how many fingers am I holding up, and you know, throw punches at me from nowhere to, that I couldn't see. And so that, you know, I became, yeah. I mean, and my way of resolving that was I did not someone to go and hide in the corner. So then, you know, I'd take that full on, and that made me a pretty aggressive person.
So did you have fist fights with kids at school?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't talk about it too much, but yeah, I became a pretty physical person. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
wow.
Through school and then in my early 20s, that was my way of dealing with it. Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, it's, yeah, yeah. But yeah, well, I didn't want them to overcome me, so I overcame them, I suppose. But that then was something I didn't want to do, and I felt bad about it. But it really screwed with my head, and it was something that I had to deal with through my whole 20s, basically, is working out, you know, who I really am. And I didn't want to be that physically violent person.
Yeah.
And that's sort of by the time I got to my 30s and my life, and then, yeah, world titles in multiple sports and had a crack of a life. So, you know, it's all perspective. Yeah, we've all got different challenges and different journeys.
Yeah, good
well
on you,
done.
Mate.
It's well, so inspiring.
Good luck.
Follow along at theblindseed.com.au. Can't wait for the doco. Matt Formston, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.